Good morning. I'm in a unique position today simply because of my age. I, like many of you, have, climbed the mountain of our life. And now we're beginning to come down the other side of the hill. And that's okay, because that walk has given me experiences and perspectives that can only come to those who have made that trip through the ages. But I have the benefit. I haven't walked through this alone. I've had the benefit of Tricia walking this life with me. Tricia and I have been married for 52 years, some of you longer. And we have experienced many seasons of our marriage. And this morning, I want to explore that thought. Just as there are different seasons in nature, our marriages too experience seasons of joy and challenges and growth and transformation, all of the things that happen in nature. And each season has a purpose. And when we embrace that purpose, then we can become closer to God, closer to those that we love. Remember the quote, you might want to turn to me, it's found back over in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, verse 1. You might know it by heart. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. God has designed our life to have seasons. It's that simple. Each with its own unique challenges, each with its own unique blessings. And since our relationships, especially our marriages, go through different places, each with its own opportunity for growth, I want to look back at those seasons. And I remember them. The first season is spring, the season of beginnings. Some beautiful words you might want to turn with me. It's over in the book of Song of Solomon. We don't often quote from that. But in the second chapter, beginning in verse 11, these words are penned. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. There is a spring season in our marriages. We might say spring is the season of love's first bloom. Couples are filled with excitement, with hope, with dreams for the future. We might even say it's a season of freshness, marked by eagerness to invest in each other. Statistics say there are about 2 million marriages a year in the United States. That's a lot of flowers, a lot of wedding dresses. A lot of gold rings on somebody's finger. And a lot of people in love. I keep a picture of Tricia on the credenza behind my desk. From our high school days. Frame's kind of worn. It doesn't stand up very good in the back. 50 plus years of sunlight on it haven't helped the image any either. But when I look at that picture, and I do daily, I vividly remember those days when we first knew each other, when we dated, when we fell in love. If you've been there, you remember the time. You always wanted to present yourself in the best possible light. Before you would meet the one that you were going to go out with, you would bathe, put on clean clothes. And everything you did trying to impress the person that you were falling in love with. You wanted to plant the seed that you're interested in them in hopes that you can receive from them some indication that they feel the same way. Some people say this is the point in relationships which everybody's in a dreamlike state. I love you. I must be with you the rest of my life. And when we do that in those early stages, those feelings of hurt or of fear or of frustration, they're very cautiously shared because that might affect the dream. Differences are often tolerated just because we need to overlook them because they destroy the dream. All of that together. And on the other side, we found ourselves in love with each other. So we began to plan it out. I wanted to get married immediately. She wanted to finish college. I kept asking her to marry me. She kept saying, no, not yet. So we met in the middle. She did finish college, and we did marry before I finished college. So, okay, we're married. Now what? Those that study in great depth the concept of marriage point out that marriage has really changed over the years. Historically, marriages were often built on very defined roles for each person in the marriage. There was going to be typically a leader, probably the husband at that time. And all of this model was influenced by social, by economic, by religious factors. And it all worked fine as long as everyone within the framework knew what their gender roles was and adhered to them. But again, those that study it say things have kind of changed over the last century, at least in the last half century, away from the traditional concept of marriage to more what they call the compassionate model. And this model embraces partnerships, equality, flexibility. Both spouses sharing responsibilities, making decisions together. Roles are less about fulfilling some traditional expectations, and it's more about mutual support and shared goals and balancing the distribution of responsibilities based upon the strength and weakness of each of the partners. And that's all fine. But there are challenges in the spring of marriage. Because all these roles have to be sorted out and have to be agreed to by both partners. The roles that each partner assumes, the responsibilities that we always think, especially in those early days in the spring of our marriage, that life is always going to be easy. Marriage is always going to be easy. Conflicts will be rare. That's seldom the case. God calls us to use this spring season to plant seeds of love, commitment. Just as you have to go outside and tend your garden if you have one, you have to nurture it and water it, we have to do the same thing in our marriages. Go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. We'll look at verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. So in the spring of our marriages, we have to be diligent to plant those seeds of faith, of kindness, of open communication. This is the time to establish routines of prayer together and listening with grace to one another and serving one another. But after spring comes what? Summer. Summer is the season of growth and should be the season of stability. Oh, what do we say around here in South Texas? Summer is a time of warmth. And in our marriages, it ought to be a time of security. And often couples will find themselves during this summer season to have much deeper companionship one with another. It's a time to enjoy the fruits that were laid in the foundations in the spring. Problems with summer, at least in South Texas. Sometimes it's not just warm, it's downright hot. And sometimes the summer season of our marriage can be hot. Have you ever felt the heat of summer? Let me give you an example, not mine, not Trisha's. Mark came home from work, loosened his tie, stepped inside, You wouldn't believe the day that I had. The AC at the office broke. The client was an hour late. I had to rewrite an entire report because my computer crashed. Rachel, his wife, stood over in the kitchen and she had a toddler on her hip while she was stirring a pot with a wooden spoon. Crayons were scattered all over the table. Juice box had exploded on the floor. Their oldest kid was in the other room crying because his Lego tower had fallen over. "Oh, really?" she said. I cleaned up a cereal tsunami. I fished a toothbrush out of the toilet. I spent 20 minutes trying to explain to your kids why eating glue is not a good idea. And I haven't had lunch yet. Mark looked around and he said, as he saw the battlefield in their home, "Okay, maybe you win." Rachel sighed. She leaned against the counter and said, "There's no winning here. There's just surviving." Mark grinned and he picked up a broom. And as he turned to her, he said, "Let's survive together." And both laughed because the toddler took the broom from his hands and began to clean up the mess, which made a bigger mess. Have you got stories like that to share? Trisha and I have stories like that to share. 52 years full of stories like that to share. Ask Trisha about the time in which her oldest son and one of our nieces decided to wallpaper the bathroom walls with the toilet paper that they had dipped in the toilet. They actually did a pretty good job in aligning the seams from one piece to the other. But when we get stuck in our routines, we have a temptation to become complacent. So in this summer season, sometimes couples lose some of that initial excitement and they begin to take each other for granted. The Apostle Paul reminds us, you might want to look with me, it's over in the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter, verse 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Just as farmers have to tend their crops, we've got to tend our marriages during the summer season. We've got to water our relationships with intentional acts of love and continually invest in each other. In the summer season of marriage, we have to remember to appreciate the gift of companionship and to seek how to grow spiritually together. So it's a time of regular prayer. It's a time of family devotions. It's a time of serving each other and helping each other. Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And after the summer goes, what comes next? The fall. That's the season of change. The season of transition. My friends, that will happen. They say there are three kinds of changes. One they call intrinsic changes. Death, disaster, illness, financial difficulties, career failures. All kinds of losses that create a great stress upon a marriage. And these are the kinds of things that happen that you don't know about, that you can't prepare beforehand. These are the things that hit you blindsided. And you have to cope with them in the realms of your marriage. Then some say there's a predictable change. I talked the other day. Look in the mirror. See the predictable changes? I don't look like I looked 50 years ago when Trisha fell in love with me. I don't feel the same thing. I don't do what I used to do. And my daily routine of sleeping and eating and doing has all changed. And there's little I can do about any of that because that's nature's way as we go through the seasons of life. I know they're coming. Maybe I can prepare a little better knowing that they're over the horizon in greater form. And then sometimes there's just plan changes. Changes that you decide you want to do. Maybe you want to make a career change. Maybe you want to have a family. And as those kids grow, maybe they're going to leave you in an empty nest. But that's all really planned. Tricia and I have been through numerous changes in our 52 years of marriage. Some of them intrinsic, some of them predictable, and some of them were planned. We planned our family. Tricia went from teaching high school to a stay-at-home mom raising our three kids. We built a house. We lived in the country. We decided the trip was too far and the schools were too bad. So we moved, and then we moved again. And then we built a house, and we moved again. We were in four homes in 9 months. That's a strain on a marriage. And then our kids grew up. One by one, they left the house. And now we had, what do they say, an empty nest? So we moved again. Tricia worked for me. Then I retired from most of my businesses, and we both sat at home looking at each other, wondering what we're going to do in retirement. So Tricia went out and got her own business. And I found myself working for her lots of times. So I went out and found my own things that I could do to stay busy. And we lost three of our four parents, and we had to deal with all of that. And you know J.D., Tricia's father, is here, and many of you knew him and loved him as we do. So he moved in with us. So we had to move to a house that was more accommodating to the needs of that. And then we looked in the mirror. We found ourselves getting older with our own physical problems, shame. Everything is always changing. And fall is especially the season of change that puts a strain on marriages. It's during that time of change that misunderstandings can arise. And expectations can't always be met. And sometimes couples feel like they're drifting apart. You may not know this. The average age of divorce, average now, in the United States for women is 39 years old. For men, it's 41. Yeah, some of them don't make it through and out the gates of the honeymoon, and there are some second marriages that end up in divorce that skew some numbers, but think about that, 39, 40, 41 years old. I don't know that I can dig real deep into that number, but as I look at it at first glance, I say these people, they've already gone through the spring. They've probably gone through their summer months. They're now in the fall of their marriage, and their marriage falls apart. One guy said, a divorce lawyer, he said, you wouldn't believe how many times somebody files for bankruptcy and at the same time files for divorce. They can't cope with the problems of fall. So they fall apart. Paul over in the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 6, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just as trees shed their leaves in the fall season, in autumn, maybe we need to shed our old expectations and embrace God's new purpose for our marriage as we walk through the changes of life. Change is not a failure. It's a refining. James says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but patience having its perfect work. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In the fall of marriage, trust that God has a purpose in each change that comes into your life. Together, face it with your partner, with prayer and open communication. Be willing to let go of the things that hinder growth and encourage each in the season of transformation. And what comes after fall? Winter. The season of hardship, we might say, of distance. Winter can be challenging to a marriage. It's marked by emotional distance, misunderstanding, sometimes hurt. Winters can, what do we say, can be cold, isolating, but they're also a time in which you need to snuggle and stay warm and help one another. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 say, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Communications may be strained in the winter of your marriage, and bitterness can develop, but it's a season for introspection, season for healing. In winter, the roots can go deeper, just as they do in your garden. It's in those times that we need to draw closer to God, seek His guidance. Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. In the winter of marriage, God's strength brings healing and renewal. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things work together to good, for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So winter can be a season of grace and reconciliation. It's a season to show unconditional love and acceptance. How does all of that happen? How do you stay married longer than 50 years? Let me tell you a story. The young reporter looked puzzled. He wasn't sure what he was to expect when he looked at that old snowy-haired man. He had asked him a question, and he didn't know how that man was going to respond, but he certainly hadn't expected that the old man was going to hand him an old worn golden watch. Nor had he expected the question to produce anything other than a routine answer. I mean, all he really wanted to do was jot down a few notes in his pad so they can give it to the paper's social writer so that he could move on to other more important stories. But he looked at the watch, and then he stared back into the eyes of the old man, and filled in anticipation. The old man spoke to the young reporter. He said, go ahead, open it, young man. Written right there inside the cover is all you'll ever need to know. It was a big day for that man. His name was George. His wife was Sarah. Big thing going on in this Midwestern farm community where George had settled over 50 years before. Their son Peter had put it all together. It was a great dinner, and the whole town was invited in celebration of George and Sarah's 50th wedding anniversary. Well, a question that the reporter had asked George was simply this. Tell me, Mr. Rampton, what is your secret? How do you stay happily married for 50 years? Well, George was dressed different than he normally dressed. He had his nice shirt on and tie and this gray suit, and he reached out as if he was going to grab his suspenders, but because he was in a suit, there wasn't any suspenders, so his hand just kind of went down to his side, and he began to talk. Well, son, I didn't know much about the ways of ladies or weddings or making a home on the day I got married. I guess you could say the whole thing had me scared right stiff. Only one thing made me get dressed up and go through with the whole thing. I knew I loved Sarah here, a powerful amount. And this was the only way that I could have her for myself. It was her daddy who gave me that one. After the wedding, I was out hitching up the team to drive me and Sarah out to my place, and he walked over to the buggy and said he had a present for me. I could tell he was kind of choked up when he said, my boy, that Sarah of yours is pretty special. But inside the watch is all you'll ever need to know. So he thrust the box into my stomach and he walked off and left me there. I didn't even have a chance to say nothing. So the reporter opened the lid to the watch, and there it simply said, "Say something nice to Sarah." That's darn good advice. Say something nice to your spouse. And every time you look at that time, you'll be reminded, say something nice. The season of marriage reminds us, just like in our natural world, that our relationships need care, they need patience, they need willingness to grow and to adapt. And God uses each of these seasons to refine us and to deepen our love, not only for Him, but for the one you love. So when you find yourself in summer, or spring, or fall, or winter, remember that God is present in each of those seasons, desires for your marriage to thrive. And when the challenges arise, lean into God's wisdom and seek to love each other as He had loved us. You know, Christian marriages have a distinct advantage compared to others in the world and even in our country, because they're rooted in God's covenant. The destructive aspects of change can't harm a marriage that is anchored in God, because covenant love is not threatened by change. Rather, it transforms change and sees what is positive in it and takes a very creative approach. Covenant love is committed love for eternity. Let me close with these words. You remember them. They're found over in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation. Whether you're married or not, there is a love you need. That's the love of God, and He has it for you. He needs you to love Him back. Come to Him through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, by being baptized to wash away your sins. Rise and walk through life with whatever challenge may come, knowing you walk with Him. Come if you will, as we